You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, so for those of you who don't know, the Texans got down to 53. Not sure that this is the final. There's still some molding to do. You still got time before the season opener, and you still got time throughout the season to make this better. There are all kinds. You know, Caserio and Jack Easterby are scouring the waiver wire, the release wire, and finding out if they can upgrade at any position. Five running backs is a bit of a surprise. Yeah, that wasn't the most likely scenario. Usually teams just keep four, but they kept five. They've got their offensive line, we hope, set. Laremy Tunsil taken off the COVID protocol. Marcus Cannon was also activated. So that's
yeah,
a good
Lane
sign.
Taylor was waived. Yeah. He was
He can still bring him back.
Yeah, he could. He's a former Green Bay Packer. Remember now, there's more loose rules with practice squad, too. Veterans, I think they have veterans still on practice squad, which is something different that they're doing. And I think it's a good move to be able to maintain. Your practice squad is basically a second roster for you. It used to be looked as developmental, but you could end up putting some veterans on there that you really like. This roster could change. You could see some players waived. I think it will change. I think as they scour the waiver wire, you'll see the Texans make a couple of additions today. And I think this is my guess, that they'll make a couple of additions, and you'll see a couple guys get iced off the roster today. I'd be curious to see if they're going to stick with five running backs. That's a lot. Yesterday, David Culley was talking about how they were going to start the running backs, the cut 20, how are the carries going to be disseminated? And, you know, you and I have been talking about Phillip Lindsay, and not so much about David Johnson, but Mark Ingram, in his limited carries, has done a pretty good job. David Johnson had a couple nice carries the other day. And David Culley said, maybe it's not going to be a Phillip Lindsay show.
Yeah.
Well, it is a lot about matchups. I think it's just about it's running back by committee for us. Just like we did in this past ball game, was kind of how we see it happening. And depending on the flow of the game, what guy's in there is the guy that we'll have in there that feels like with what we're trying to do gives us the best chance.
As John mentioned, also, you had players coming off the PUP list, and one of them that could be kind of important that we haven't really talked about much is Marcus Cannon. You mentioned that Marcus Cannon was activated, but this is a guy who has starting right tackle experience, and you have Charlie Heckwood there right now as your starting right tackle. Cannon's been out the whole camp, so I don't expect Marcus Cannon to just step right in and start at right tackle. But David Culley talked about Marcus Cannon coming off of the COVID list.
Well, we're not really sure yet, but I do know that Marcus is going to practice today. He is, with on a limited basis. Lane is not quite there yet, but we're just taking it day by day with him. But Marcus will be out there today.
Well, actually, not COVID. I want to make sure it was injury-less. However, he mentioned Lane Johnson. I thought Lane Johnson was one of the ones. It's Lane Taylor, yeah.
Yeah. Lane Johnson's the tackle for the Eagles.
No, who did he say? Lane.
Lane Taylor.
Yeah, but I thought he got cut.
But he did.
Oh,
but
that was later?
They're thinking he's coming back. There's a possibility he comes
back. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I was
He's a veteran. Him. He was released. Unless he feels like he's going to go somewhere else. But there's a chance Lane Taylor plays for the Texans this year.
Something has drawn some attention in the football world. Well, it's drawn the attention of the NFL Players Association. Is Urban Meyer basically came out and said, oh, yeah, we're absolutely considering vaccinations in who we're going to keep. Now, that's across the board. You're not supposed to say it, but it's 100% happening. And Jay Williams talked about the owners and the players and who's vaccinated and who's not and how that whole thing should go down.
If you have the right to make your decision on whether you want to be vaccinated or not, I have the right as an employer to choose if I want to employ you, considering your situation. It's like,
Absolutely, Jay.
You know what I mean, Key? If I'm bringing in the tutor to help my daughter out, and my daughter's immunocompromised, I'm going to give you my situation, and I'm the employer. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm not vaccinated. Okay, that's your decision. I respect that. You also have to respect my decision. I'm not bringing your ass in my house to be with my kid.
And the NFL is investigating Urban Meyer over this. Yeah, listen, it's not a dirty little secret. It's out there. Buffalo has talked about this. Yeah, we're going to make decisions based on whether or not they're vaccinated. There's no question that is playing into some of the decisions that's going into whether or not a guy's going to be on a team.
Do you want
a guy risking your quarterback? Because you could be vaccinated. That guy catches COVID. He gives it to your quarterback. Even though he's vaccinated, your quarterback's going to have to sit.
Especially now they're testing every 7 days.
Yes.
So, yeah, you don't. If it's a back end of the roster, you don't want a guy that you don't even know that he's going to follow the rules when he's away from the facility. You can't take a chance on that. Now, some of the really good players, I mean, there's some really good players in the NFL that aren't vaccinated. Their names are not going to get out there. But you're already seeing Ryan Kelly, Carson Wentz, two guys, a starting center and starting quarterback. This is a major, major deal. Wentz might not be ready for week one if the games are going to start this weekend. And I know the Colts, who are in the division, have one of the lowest vaccination rates in the league. And I talked to Ballard about it, and he's like, look, obviously, I want 100%, but this is a tough one because you have some guys who, if they dig in on it, you know, I can push as hard as I want, but there's a line that you don't want to cross. That's something that's usually handled in locker rooms by the leaders.
Let me ask you a question. Even Urban Meyer said it, Urban Meyer doesn't get it. Let me ask you a question. You're a coach or you're a GM. And two guys are, I don't know which one to take. One's vaccinated, one isn't. Which one are you taking?
It's not even close.
That's right.
If they're equal, you're going to take a guy that you know is not likely to miss. Well, he doesn't have to go through the same protocols, number one, yes. But the non-vaccinated.
Right. That's how many times is he going to get tested? And the chances are he could get tested. And it's positive because he has to get tested so much.
Yeah. And if you get popped, if you pop positive, which there is a greater chance of unvaccinated than vaccinated. And then, like you said, when you're vaccinated,
or
you don't have the same protocols.
Or like
in
Cam,
place.
You don't follow protocols. Or what? Yeah. Like whomever. What's his name? Buffalo receiver that's been.
Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley. He was literally four steps from the door without a mask on. And they dinged him with a suspension.
Well, and it's not. Remember now. So
because
when
they're
I was
going
there,
after non-vaccinated players,
but you have to wear. So this is the thing. When I went to practice, we have to wear. We're not tier one, and this is everyone. But I think it's now tier one, tier two. Maybe it's different. We had to wear. I'm a tier two, so I had to wear something in my pocket. It's like a pager, and if you get within a certain amount of distance, it's. You know, it's based on GPS. If you get in a certain distance of someone else with that pager, they both start going off. And so you have to move and get situated. But it also is able to track. They're able to track who is close. That's how you get put in protocol if you're within a certain amount of space of another player. You can think it's wrong or whatever, but these are the rules. And if you end up costing a starter an opportunity to play and it turns into a loss and you're like guy number 52nd on the roster, nah, it's not going to go over well.
No, it's not. Hey, we mentioned the culture. And I want to hear from Mark Schlereth because we got the final cut down and we got, I don't know that we got rid of all the riffraff that Bill O'Brien had in here, but we certainly, I would imagine that character played heavily into the decision making of who to sign and now who to keep on this Texans roster. And Mark Schlereth made reference yesterday to the culture that they're trying to build now here with the Texans.
The big issue you get into when you're a team that's trying to develop culture or overcome some things that have happened to you, when things don't go right off the bat, you got to have the right characters in your locker room, because the one thing that will ruin a team faster than anything is when all of a sudden guys start looking around and realizing we're not very good, the culture here is not very good, and then guys become independent contractors. When everybody's an individual contractor, when everybody's kind of taking care of their own, I want to get mine, you're never going to be good, because this is the ultimate team game. It's the ultimate sacrifice game. You've got to be willing to do that for one another to be any good in the National Football League. And so those are always the things to me, the pitfalls and the problems that you have to overcome, especially when you're trying to create a new culture and trying to change some direction of your franchise.
Now, this is why I don't necessarily crap on the comment on the term culture. I know some NFL people don't love it, and sometimes it's overused. For the Texans, I think it's very important. You just had a situation where the Texans don't have core players. They've got a few guys that could start for other quality teams. I don't know, maybe. Could Zach Cunningham start for a good team? It would depend on the situation. Laremy Tunsil is the only guy I can think of that would be a starter on a playoff caliber team. I can't think of another player on the Texans.
Well, there are weak links and even good teams where guys might, like Bradley Roby could start on a team, on a good team.
Yeah, Bradley Roby. Yeah. I think those are the two most talented.
Yeah.
Some people said Justin Reed. No.
Minnehue might be able to start on some lines.
Minnehue might.
Yeah,
he might. Yeah. But the whole, you know, when it went from Clowney and if you looked at one point, it was Dwayne Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, Reader.
Yeah.
I mean, just think of how many quality players there were at one point. And how few there are right now.
And
by the way,
Bill got rid of all of them.
Bernardrick McKinney cut by the Dolphins. Mm. That whole McKinney for, boy, you want to talk about a whole lot of nothing. McKinney for Shaq Lawson. That was a whole lot
Neither
of nothing for
team.
Both teams. But if you look at what the Texans have to build, they have to bring up, you know, their younger players have to be established as quality depth and at some point core players. But the other thing is, you got to figure out who your leadership is going to be right now. Who are going to be your leaders? Who are the next big dogs in the locker room? They may not be on the roster right now. I don't know. You would hope that Laremy Tunsil would be a big positive influence and get guys, but this is a guy who didn't even want to practice last year. So that's not the culture you really want. And it is going to be important for the Texans. This is a reset. This is a new version. The Rockets are a new version. The James version is over. So the Rockets have a brand new version, and they're trying to figure out their culture. The Astros had their big culture change in 2014-15. We're in the middle of it with the Texans, and it won't, and the answers will not show themselves this year. No. It's not going to be until next year, even the year
well,
after.
Well, and then, it's more than that, though. It's like he said, they're going to lose, and they're going to lose a lot.
But are they in
and
it
are
with
the
each
guys
other?
Going to, yeah, are they going to stay the course? Are they going to not be grumbling in the locker room? Are they going to be still good team guys? And that's going to be awfully important with veteran guys, who some guys who probably have lost before and know how to go about it. And listen, this is not going to be a good football team. So you need a bunch of character in there so that nobody's, you know, bitching and moaning and going AWOL on the head coach. And the head coach seems to be a really good guy. That's a player's coach, so that helps as well.
No, it's fine. Look, we joke. I mean, it's a disaster over there right now relative to what it used to be. But that's okay. We've seen that. It was a disaster with the Rockets this year. We knew that. It was a disaster with the Astros for a few years. You knew that. The question is, what do they do now?
Yeah.
What do they do now? That's why we are very – John and I are both adamant about you wait until you have proper value for Deshaun Watson because this is your last chance.
Yeah.
This is your last commodity to flip a house and to turn a profit and then do something with those draft picks. Just because you get a bunch of draft picks, that doesn't mean anything. You got to do right by your evaluations and make the right picks.
All right, back to the Astros. Jake Meyers went 0-for-4 yesterday. Does he deserve to still be on the team? Stop. We will talk about that on the other side. But first, let's talk a little golf, okay? And not Bryson DeChambeau. We're talking about the Dirty Birdie Charity Classic. It's by DeRu, powered by Mac Vibe Services. And it's fun. We do it every year. We'll be out there this year. It's at the Battleground Golf Course in Deer Park. It's September 17th. It's a Friday. It's a great way to get your weekend started in Deer Park. If you want to spend the weekend in Deer Park, okay, that's fine. I don't know why. But if you wanted to do that, then you should. Proceeds benefit the Elmina Shriners, the Ronald McDonald House of Galveston, and the American Heart Association. The Dirty Birdie Charity Classic. Listen, they've been doing this for years, and this is Tiny. He's in the Cajun Navy, and these guys, they just care about giving back. It's amazing. They put a lot of work into this thing. So if you want to help out, Ronald McDonald House doesn't cut any better than that. The American Heart Association and Elmina Shriners, they're all going to be out there with their funny hats on. It's going to be great. And if you don't want to miss the party, I'm telling you, it's a party. Dirty Birdie Charity Classic. Get more information and click to sign up at ESPN975.com, ESPN975.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We'll talk Astros baseball here in just a second. But first, the Labor Day Classic is a college football tradition between arch rivals Texas Southern Tigers and Prairie View A&M Panthers. You do not want to miss this. This Saturday, Texas Southern takes on Prairie View A&M at BBVA Stadium. And we've got tickets for it at 9:30 exactly. Caller number 4 gets a 4-pack of tickets to the game. For more information, log on to tsusports.com. Don't get them unless you're going to use them, okay? I mean, yeah, I just want to win the tickets. No, unless you're going to use them. Yeah, then you should. Then you should do that. I shouldn't have crinkled this up, this paper, because we've got other stuff that I'm supposed to read on it. I never do. Sorry, Courtney, I never do it. We're actually giving away a trip to Cirque du Soleil and the airfare and hotel room for it, too. So keep on listening for that. And then something else about signing up or something on our website. I don't know. So I did it. There you go, Courtney, I did it. So the Astros lost last night. Toro against Graveman. It came down to the trade, and Toro won the battle, hit the grand slam off Graveman. Graveman has not looked great. Of course, a one inning, four runs is going to kill your ERA, and he has been pretty damn good. He's had, you know, he's given up a couple of runs. In four outings, he's given up runs so far for the Houston Astros. And so, you know, that's pretty good. Other than, you know, a grand slam. Of course, you didn't score a run, so what was the difference if it was one run or 1,000 runs?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter.
No, it didn't matter. You didn't score. I mean, score a run.
Yeah.
Score a run against Seattle, but you they did a good job of shutting you down, and they you just had good on good. Graveman versus Toro. Yeah. What are you going to do? Your best versus their best.
Yeah,
I'm kind of not. It was 2-2 pitch. He came in with a fastball. It tailed into the middle of the plate, and Toro yanked it. Toro very quietly started to put together a little bit of a run right before he was traded,
yeah.
And he's done a really nice job.
Listen,
over there.
Listen, he filled in much better than Robel. Okay, so...
well, he was a lifesaver when
Bregman went down.
Well, also, but when Aledmys Díaz was
down. Yeah, he was down too.
I mean, he was the guy that was stepping in playing the role of Aledmys Díaz.
No, he absolutely was. So that was nice. Now, Mike Stanton was on with the Wheelhouse yesterday afternoon. Yes, I said Wheelhouse, Art, so don't say Wheelhouse. The Wheelhouse yesterday. And Mike Stanton had this to say about Jake, despite, you know, his I'm giving him the business about his 0-for-4 yesterday. Jake Meyers has been a godsend. Jake Meyers, when you get a guy out of nowhere that's performed the way Jake Meyers has, it's a blessing. And trust me, everybody that's an Astros fan has been noticing.
Well, just like McCormick took the spot away from Miles Straw, whoever's hot's got to play. And I'll tell you what, Jake really looks like he's the real deal. I really like his swing. I like his approach. You know, I like how he uses the whole field, and, you know, he also seems to have a little bit of a flair for the dramatic, because you got to look at his minor league numbers. He was killing the ball in AAA before he came up. So, you know, this isn't something that is just out of nowhere. Now, he didn't have any big league experience, but, you know, he really looks like a guy that makes pretty good adjustments in at-bats and realizes what pitchers are trying to do to him. And as far as McCormick is concerned, you know, McCormick's going to have a little bit more power. But I just feel like the hit tool is a little bit better for Meyers than it is for McCormick.
Yeah, I think we could all agree on that. Unless he goes into a prolonged slump here. If he does, you know, and everybody's going to hit a wall at some point. we can't expect this kid to just, I mean, he went ahead and 0-for-4 yesterday. We can't expect him to just keep on coming up with big hit after big hit after big hit. He had the big hit in the eighth inning against Seattle. He also had a big hit in the eighth inning against the Rangers. So, listen, this team yesterday had first and second and one out, or had second, guy on second and one out four times yesterday. Four times they had a chance with one out to score a run, and they didn't do it. This is certainly not just because Jake Martinez was 0-for-4. What I'm saying is that when McCormick does come back, unless Jake Martinez is in an extended slump, Jake Martinez needs to be on the field. I think we talked about this yesterday as well. Jake Martinez has been awesome. When you're getting this kind of production out of the eight hole, you're eight deep now. Jake Martinez has made you eight deep as opposed to seven deep.
Yeah. The Astros right now, over the last 20, are playing 600 ball, right? Okay, you know, that's fine. When you look around Major League Baseball, that's better than everybody over the last 20 other than
the Yankees.
I mean, the American League other than the Rays and Yankees. Rays are 16-4, Yankees 15-5. Rays are 16-4.
No, the Rays are
over the last 20.
The Rays are putting together one of the great seasons. Look at their record.
But in Major League Baseball, I mean, the Mariners are 12-8. You're 12-8. The Dodgers 16-4. Brewers 14-6. Braves 14-6. Giants 14-6. You know, the Astros right now, in terms of, because I went back and looked at last 20, it feels like they're kind of coasting.
Yeah.
You're having some inconsistent performances offensively. You had a couple explosions about nine games ago, but where you hit double digits, but it's against the Mariners, actually. I guess that's a little bit more than a week ago. But your starting pitching's been...
It was last weekend.
Starting pitching's been good for the most part. Greinke exploded. Lance McCullers had to really labor. Now, he didn't give up a run.
No.
But Fromber's been, obviously, way, way better. Odorizzi, he pitches today. We'll see what he does. But Urquidy, to me, the story is... And your bullpen has been a little bit more erratic here lately. But when they're good, they can be very, very good. When they're bad, they can be very, very
bad.
I'm
telling you right now, Odorizzi's throwing great today.
Okay.
Yeah, and they win this game.
The most important thing to me right now, the most important thing to me is Urquidy. I think the hitters are going to do whatever they do, but they have their health. For the most part, you got a healthy roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I think adding that extra arm in there, because Odorizzi has been a disappointment. Zach Greinke is going to be up and down, but he's going to be one of your four. Lance McCullers is one of your four. Fromber is one of your four. And Garcia is one of your four. There's just no way around it. Those are your four. No matter what Urquidy does, he's not going to get into a quote-unquote rotation. I don't think they're going to go with a five-man rotation in the playoffs. But what is important is that if you've got an opportunity – if you don't trust Christian Javier, but you do trust Urquidy, boy, that's huge. To have a guy who, if Lance McCullers has one of his 105 pitch, five inning appearances like yesterday, or however many hundred, I guess he's like 105, I believe.
102.
Wouldn't it be great to be able to back that up in the playoffs with Urquidy? If Lance McCullers is sitting there on a zero after laboring through five, to go to Urquidy for three, that'd be huge.
Awesome.
Urquidy for four.
Yeah.
If he's on a roll and gets up. That's huge. Christian Javier was that guy last year in the playoffs. I don't know that I have the same confidence, but you want him to be that guy. Jake Odorizzi is going to have a hard time making a playoff roster. Because if Urquidy is pitching well, and if there's confidence in Urquidy, how do you have Odorizzi coming in the bullpen? He doesn't have the stuff that Urquidy has.
No. No, I don't want Odorizzi. No. Christian Javier is iffy enough.
Right,
I don't need Odorizzi coming into a tough game.
But I think you need two
in
guys.
The sixth inning,
two of those
a
two plus
tire
guys.
A one run game.
You need
I don't
two
need that,
two plus way. Guys.
Yeah, I think you've got plenty in the bullpen now. Between
got a lot of arms. Yeah, Maton. He'll make. You think he'll make a
who?
You think Maton will make it?
Probably.
Stanek's going to make it. Presley's going to make it. Baez. We got to see what Baez. There's no lock right now.
Graveman's going to make it.
Presley, obviously.
Yeah, no, that's four.
The three you...
Javier's going to...
Well, I'm not... Yimmy? Yimmy will make it. Yimmy. You traded for him. Yimmy will make it.
Probably.
Brooksy. Beat it. I don't care what handed you are. Beat it, Brooksy.
What about Taylor?
I mean, I may not care what handed he
you
is
gotta
either.
Have a no, you
got to have one of the lefties. Well, Taylor over Brooksy.
Yeah, he likes Brooks. He likes Randy.
I know, but
he likes Randy.
Sorry, Dusty. We got playoff rosters now. We got to tighten it up.
That's going to be tough.
Tighten it up. Come on, Dusty.
No, I don't see any scenario where Odorizzi makes the team.
I see a scenario where you're saving money on your homeowner's insurance, and that's by texting the word money to 232323. As I mentioned yesterday when I was doing the commercial in my Chicago, that's three Jordans. If you are a jersey chaser, that would be three LeBrons, 232323. And you text the word money, what that does is it automatically triggers their automated system to reach out back to you quickly. They ask what your address is. You'll send it in, and you'll get a firm quote back within 15 seconds. It's usually much, much faster than that. They'll tell you what your homeowner's insurance will look like, unless they have other questions for you, and then you'll have to answer additional questions if it's about your roof or whatever the case may be. But that will give you an example of and an idea of what you could be paying. Compare that to what you're paying right now. What you may find is that you're saving hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. It's not unusual to see people saving into the $1,000, $1,500, $1,600 range for the annual savings. And that's because so many people never, ever even look into shopping their homeowner's insurance rate. So TGSinsurance.com or text the word money to 232323 and get A-rated insurance for a much lower rate.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
9:33 on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, the Wheelhouse. Going to have Greg McElroy at 4:30 and Tim Kirchin at 5:30 today. So listen in. Our boys are doing a nice show. They really are. They're doing a nice show. They're having big guests. They're doing great things. So congratulations to them. It's a good start to their – it's a good start. To their show. 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here. Have you seen this? Oh, so Daryl's having some problems. He got a little problems going on up there in Philadelphia. He has a player issue, he's got an agent issue. Rich Paul is none too pleased.
That's LeBron's guy who's also being sued by New Orleans Noel.
Yeah, he's being sued. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't think that's... He dropped it?
I think I saw something about New Orleans Noel dropping the
lawsuit. Well, yeah, I don't think it's, winnable.
That's because he's not going to win. He told me not to take it. Did you take his advice? Yes. Was he your agent? No. Wait.
He wasn't even your agent?
That's the funniest part is he wasn't his agent. Man, I wouldn't even take that deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Rich Paul is catching it, though, in Philadelphia. Ben Simmons says he no longer wants to be a Philadelphia 76er, and he's not showing up for training camp. So that's an issue now Daryl's got to deal with. He ran when that was going to be the case with James here. So Daryl ran out of town and said, I'm out of here. I don't want to be on a team with no James Harden. So he went to Philadelphia. I don't know that was the case, but certainly Daryl left while the getting was good.
Well, when the getting was over.
Yeah. When it was.
It was a wrap.
This was when
the run was over.
When the dumpster was on fire.
There was no draft picks. The dumpster was fully on fire. No draft picks.
Yeah.
James had a fat suit on. It was time to go.
Yeah. So
actually Daryl was gone before the fat suit came out.
So Daryl, yeah, he was already gone. So he didn't have to face those consequences. So now he's got this situation with, do you think he's able to, Minnesota really wants Ben Simmons and they're going to take his $147 million. He's got 4 years, $147 million and he can't shoot. That's a problem, but apparently it's not a problem for Minnesota.
Daryl loves threes and frees. He loves good free throw shooters, and he wants to have guys who are volume 3-point shooters who can also make them. That would be not Ben Simmons and not Ben Simmons.
Right. No, he's not. He's got none of that. But he inherited him, and you know what? You gotta build a team the way that you want to. Hey, listen, that's nothing. Joel Embiid. If Joel Embiid doesn't fit Daryl, he walked into a situation of exactly the opposite of what he's been doing over the last 10, 15 years here in the city of Houston. Now, I did disagree with Daryl in that if you value the 3-point shot so much, why are you picking up guys who can't shoot threes?
Right.
I mean, don't you look for just 3-point shooters?
That's always been the case. It's like it didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense. Some of
why are you bringing back, like when he brought back
the Florida guard.
Yes. That was so bad.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Why? Oh, no. Josh Smith is here now. Who are these guys? I thought we were a 3-point team.
Yeah.
Can you get some 3-point shooters? So this is a problem. The problem is Daryl Morey's asking prices. He wants dollar for dollar value for Ben Simmons. He doesn't want to just give him away. And no one wants to give you dollar for dollar. Like, this is the worst leverage. He's coming off the worst playoff series we've seen in a long time. You don't have leverage.
Mm-mm.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you have no leverage. So Daryl is still expecting to get true value for Ben Simmons, maybe what he would have got last year before the season started. And now Rich Paul is involved in it as well. And there's a high chance that Tyrese Maxey will be part of a Ben Simmons trade.
High chance. So this is what Rich Paul told Tyrese Maxey, don't do any more charitable work in the city because we're gonna get you out of there.
He said, don't grow roots.
Don't grow roots. A few local Philadelphia-based organizations had planned on partnering with Maxey on some community events. They were told to cancel those plans. Paul would not like Maxey to grow roots in Philly if he could be gone. And people are on Rich Paul right now. Stopping Maxey from helping local charities at a time like this is beyond disgusting, Rich Paul.
I think what he's saying is don't get involved. That's kind of
overstating. That's dumb.
He's saying don't get involved in long-term charitable. Don't grow. Because he said
or even short-term.
But he didn't want him to grow roots in Philly. He's saying he's going to be
out of there. Who cares if he grows? If he does it 1 year and he helps charities out, why does Rich Paul care?
Because it's for PR. You're supposed to be doing charity stuff for PR.
Well, that's
they don't want to get the cameraman out there.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're acting like all the charitable stuff doesn't have a PR angle behind it.
No, I don't care if it. No, but you know what? Maxie's helping his own PR. He's helping himself. But not only is he helping himself, Lance, he's helping the charity.
Because he does
it for 1 year, who cares that Philadelphia, the 76ers, get credit
for it? He's telling them, don't grow roots because you're going to be gone.
Well, that,
we're getting you out of there.
Don't grow. What is growing roots?
You mean
helping a charity for 1 year is going to grow roots?
Grow roots in the community. Yeah.
That's dumb.
Andre Johnson was
absolutely stupid.
Andre Johnson was still taking kids shopping for Christmas when he was playing in Indy down here.
Yeah. But Andre Johnson was a long time. That's a bad example.
He's all time great.
Because he should be doing that, and he will continue because Houston's his home. I don't care if you do 1 year and help someone. What's the difference to Rich Paul that he helps and he had a couple of community events planned that helps the local community, even if you are gone?
Well, I get what you're saying. The bigger point, though, is that he's basically saying none of my guys are going to be playing for the Sixers.
Right. Well,
none of them.
I get that. But you still can't help. You did play for the Sixers last year, and you can help a local charity.
I think
so now you're leaving the charity out in the cold.
Who asked you? It's probably directly. My guess is it's not done by just Maxey. It's done through the 76ers. And so this is another way of saying, okay, we're not doing anything for the Sixers anymore. Not the charity stuff. We're not showing up at practices. Although Maxey's got a little that's a little trickier, Maxey versus Simmons. In terms of how they act at a camp or whatever.
Listen, just because your agent doesn't want you to be anymore because of how they treated Ben Simmons, you know what? That's ridiculous. What if Tyrese Maxey's like, hey, wait a minute. Ben Simmons can leave. I'm fine here. You know what, Rich Paul? First of all, I hope that Tyrese Maxey really wants out too, but that they are punishing charities in the community is stupid. And by the way, Rich Paul, it's a bad PR move. It's a bad PR because everybody in the Philadelphia area is like, hey, a-hole, just because Tyrese Maxey does want to leave and does leave, there's no reason that he has to hurt these charities on his way out the door.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
No, I get that. I get that. The bigger point, though, in terms of Ben Simmons, though, Daryl wanted him. First, Daryl acted like he wasn't going anywhere and they're going to work on this and that. Pulled the same Chris Paul. Look, the bottom line is, at some point, you're going to have to get him off your roster for the good of the roster. And you're going to have to, if you can get to 80 cents on the dollar, you're going to have to take it. Because you got to get, if he's going to be a malignant player for you, either through his play or through his attitude and actions, if Rich Paul's going to be an issue, Daryl better get control of that quick because he's already had issues in Houston. We saw what happened with James and then James with, you know, whoever the star players were that they surrounded him with or whoever the next number two was. He seemed to have problems with the number two. Three of them were traded away and it didn't take Chris Paul got 2 years. Westbrook got 1 year because Westbrook didn't want to play with James. And then, you know, Dwight Howard eventually had to go as well. Like, Daryl better be careful about how he handles this situation. And I think the best way to do it is just saying, look, I'm not going to try to Jedi mind trick anybody. I just need to get Ben Simmons out of here and go find something from a player. Like, go find a good shooter. Go find a player who has some quality that we really like that will complement Joel Embiid and what we're building. But this really can't be about thinking you're going to get pure value for Ben Simmons because everyone knows he doesn't want to be there. Now Rich Paul's throwing it out there. He's making sure it's leaked. And your guy's coming off of a playoffs where he was terrified on the court. He was terrified to touch the basketball. Sorry, Daryl. You just got to give that guy away somewhere. And, I mean, you want to get value back for him. But, listen, if you thought about this, maybe how would Rocket fans – how do you think they would respond to Ben Simmons as a Rocket, Jalen Green, a Sixer? You think that would go over well?
Nope.
It would go over terrible.
Nope.
We're hyped about Jalen Green.
How are you going to add $47 million? How are you going to add $147 million to this payroll? You can't.
Let me ask you a question. In this rebuild, how would you like to have...
Well, if you get rid of John Wall, I'll take him.
Yeah. Hey, we may be onto something here. John Wall for Ben Simmons.
That'd be perfect. As long as you don't have to give up Jalen Green, yeah.
Come on, Daryl. Take on this.
Jalen Green ain't being part
of it. You know who Daryl also took on at one point? Steve Francis. Steve had nothing left.
Yeah.
Of course, that was after a $30 million buyout by Portland.
Yeah.
But he brought him in. Maybe Rafael Stone can talk him into taking on John Wall.
Maybe.
In his contract. I would think Daryl would 100% want Eric Gordon.
Yeah, he loves Eric Gordon. That's only 19.
Do you really want, like, I'd rather have a three-way trade that doesn't involve getting Ben Simmons.
Yeah, me too.
Would you want Ben Simmons on your team as
a
Rockets?
Honestly.
Well, but he's a good basketball, I mean, he's a pretty good basketball player.
Oh, no, and he'll give the ball up to Jalen Green and to Kevin Porter.
It actually might not be the worst thing in the world if you broke down just the basketball part of it. Although I do think the Rockets view Jalen Green as a ball-in-hand playmaker as opposed to Ben Simmons playing that role. I think they would prefer the role of ball-in-hand playmaker for Jalen Green.
All right, when we come back, news of the weird coming your way. Can you win? Can you lose a one-man election? The answer is yes, and we'll tell you how next right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, let's talk about Michael over at Pete's Fine Meats. I continue to rave about this, but I want you to, when you go to Pete's, don't pass up on the, tell them, make me that tri-blend burger, which is spectacular. He uses the best in meats. It's unbelievable how good this is. When you're buying your steaks, when you're buying your chops, when you're buying your quail, when you're buying your whatever you want to buy, buffalo, whatever it is, deer, whatever it is that you want to buy at Pete's Fine Meats, Michael's unbelievable. And by the way, you if you kill deer, Michael will take
process
care of it. He'll process the whole thing.
No, you don't take care of it. You sound like we're doing Goodfellas.
You take care
of
it.
If you kill a deer, he'll take care of the hoof.
Take care
the
of
paw.
It. No,
they call it the paw, the hoof.
He'll come in.
You got one deer going one way, one
good. Michael's the wolf. Yeah. He's going to take care of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Once you, if you kill a, you know, actually accidentally shoot a deer in your back seat,
How about Bagwell? Mentioned him just the other day on the broadcast. Yeah. He goes in and gets steaks.
Yeah, when he's waiting for the Hall of Fame call.
We get our steaks over there. We get all of our tailgating food, and he wants to give out tailgate. You know, I think we're going to do a tailgate package on Friday, as a matter of fact, that you can pick up and start your college season off right if you want to watch a little college football and have your own tailgating in your own backyard.
It's unbelievable. He's been there forever. It was his dad's. He was Pete, and now Michael's there, and his daughter works for him over there. And it's just been a family business, but it's been unbelievable for years and years and years and years. And if you're looking for the best of meat and a whole bunch more, eggs, bacon, everything you can buy, it's unbelievable how much he's got in there. It's Pete's Fine Mitch. Richmond and Chimney Rock, tell him you heard it right here.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Just a quick carryover from the last segment. The big lead. This guy, Liam McKeon, he wrote this article 2 days ago. Daryl Morey's failure to trade Ben Simmons for James Harden will haunt the 76ers forever. Two questions here. Number one, the offer was Daryl's failure. Daryl's offer was not the best offer. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
But number two, would Rafael Stone be allowed to make a deal to Daryl Morey for James Harden?
No.
Would Tillman have allowed that?
No, Tillman would not have allowed it.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think that there was... listen, there's no bad blood. As a matter of fact, I talked to Tad. I talked to Tad a couple weeks ago and asked him about this whole payment thing that he was continuing to get paid. He's like, that's common in every business, from one ownership to the next, that there's payout, buyout, that you continue to get paid, the high executives. And so it's not unusual at all. And as a matter of fact, Tillman just went, yep, because Tillman does this all the time. And Tillman said, okay, that's fine. No problem. It wasn't even a talking point in the negotiation. So it was no big deal. However, I don't know this. I haven't been told this, but I could certainly see Tillman not wanting to do business with Daryl Morey. And because if they did get taken, It would make it look so much worse.
I mean, this is a perennial MVP candidate.
Yeah.
Let's not act like this is like, well, you know, Eric Gordon really went off. No, this is a guy who's always in the top three for MVP voting. He's going to average about 34 a game.
Yeah.
Like for the 76ers, can you imagine? He would have thrived. He would have had monster numbers. And you would have had, the odds were you would look bad in that deal.
And why would Tillman want to make Daryl look all that much better in Philadelphia? It just wouldn't.
Yeah, I could
so see. Estonia, apparently, they had a one-man election for president, and he lost.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's got to hurt.
Lawmakers rejected the only candidate in the first round of voting.
Who else? Anyone else?
He needed 68 votes by the parliament. He got 63.
You know what? We're going to hold off on this.
You are a crappy... I mean, we've had some crappy candidates. I'm convinced that... Are you kidding? These are the only candidates we can find for president of the United States. This is our best going forward.
This is our best.
But even they couldn't lose one person elections. And no. So this guy must have been a real turd.
Yeah, lose the one person?
Yeah. So Wisconsin School Board is under a bit of fire. Apparently, they're against... free meals for kids who can't afford them because they say, well, the families are just going to get spoiled by us giving free lunches.
What a hill to die on that one is.
Well, people don't think before they talk.
If we keep feeding children from lower income homes, where does it stop? They're going to keep wanting food from us.
Uh-huh.
We got to stop this.
Make
them learn how to make their own ramen noodles like we did in college. Like, wait, what?
You've been to San Francisco.
Yep.
It's turning.
That's it's not as not nice great, as it was. That's,
no, it's not as
it
nice as it was.
It used to be nicer.
But it could be nicer now. Okay. Apparently, there's an incentive by their mayor to give $60 million
yep.
to people in the Black and African American community and provide resources for people who don't commit crimes.
I'm sorry. Okay, walk me through the whole thing now. What is this?
Yeah. Apparently,
what does he want to do exactly?
It's an incentive for achieving a milestone. For instance, we are proposing at the moment is that people involved in the program will receive $300 a month guaranteed stipend as part of the city's larger guaranteed income. In addition, they'll be able to receiving up to $200 additional a month for crime reduction.
Yeah,
if you don't commit crimes,
I'm reading here. If you don't shoot somebody, you could make money.
Why I have never shot anybody. How come nobody's paying me?
Oh, you ran with guys who shot people.
Yeah, right.
Themselves.
But I didn't.
No, that we know of, Slippin' Johnny.
No, I'm not Slippin' Johnny. I just think, why can't I get paid for not shooting
these
anybody?
These are real stories. San Francisco may offer cash incentives for not committing crimes.
That's the best.
It's an actual story I'm watching on Bay Area News, Channel 4.
Yeah. Why can't we get paid for that?
Well, here's something you could get paid for. Picking the very best fantasy football team. Fantasy football's here, and NFL fantasy football, Underdog Fantasy, gives you a chance to pick your favorite team. Now, in these best ball tournaments, they're going to have the daily drafts as well, where you know during the season. But right now, they've got three different best ball tournaments. One is for $5 entry. One is $25 entry with first prize of $1 million. And one is $250 entry. And what you do is you sign up right now, and you'll be in a draft of 12 different people. They do it every 12 people that sign up. They let you have a draft. And what happens is whoever your top, out of all your players, whoever your top quarterback, running back, wide receivers are, whoever your top scorers are, those are your starters are. You don't have to sit or start. You don't have to have, you're not going to have waiver wire. You pick your team and you forget it. It sits there and it works for you the entire season. And they've got some big prizes out there, and you can have multiple entries into these best ball tournaments. Go to underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code radio. They're going to give you a $25 bonus when you make your first deposit. It's underdogfantasy.com. Because we're going to be.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.